Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
Listeners, this is Star, and you are listening to Teen Station, where we always have something to say. And of course, how could we forget to welcome our great teen co-host, Edric?
How's it going?
Justine.
Hey.
Drew, what's up?
Hey, guys.
And Miranda.
Hello.
And our newest addition, Jack.
Hey.
How's everyone doing today?
Good, good.
Fantastic.
Better
good,
than usual.
Good. Well, let's just jump right into our theme or topic for today, which how can we run away from it? Because everyone knows once we get to the end of August, it is back to school time. So, Miranda, when you are coming closer to the beginning of school, how do you prepare? What's your mindset the month or the week before you start school? How do you get ready for it?
I don't know. I don't think there's too much of a way to get ready. I just try and, get school stuff together, find out who's in my classes and stuff, and sort of, feel sad because it's the last week of summer.
Certainly is sad. Edric, did you have a different mindset or did you have a different feeling when you first were going back to college versus starting your first day in high school?
Are you talking about this year or are you talking about last year?
Your first day in college.
First day in college? Well,
and then your first day in high school. Did you have different anxieties or the same?
Yeah, I actually did. Right now I'm actually transferring schools, so I'll tell you how I feel right now instead of a year ago. I'm actually very anxious. I'm trying to make sure everything's perfect. I actually went shopping today, and
wow,
I didn't get anything. Yeah, I got a scarf and a cardigan in it, and that's pretty much it. I actually went out. I wanted to spend like $100 or more, but I ended up spending like $30. I couldn't find anything I liked.
With all that stuff out there, all you see is back to school, back to school. I feel like they start the whole back to school marketing earlier and earlier every year.
Yep, pretty much. I'm actually surprised because they have a lot of winter clothes out now. They probably had the fall clothes out, like, a month ago.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much getting ready for school.
Yeah, so when I think of school, Tashin, I know some people want to come back and basically start over if they had, like, a bad year the year before or reinvent themselves or start fresh. Do you think you're a style setter or a trend follower? Where would you categorize yourself as?
I'm definitely a trend follower. I remember I was hanging out with my friend one day, and he was talking about me in 10th grade and how, like, I had the weirdest fashion sense ever. But that's because I didn't really, like, look into fashion that much. And I'm like, meh. But I feel like being in college, you're surrounded by more people who, like, know about fashion and are into the current. So you kind of get, like, they rub off on you, so you learn about, like, what's in and what's not, and you start to develop your own sense of fashion. Hopefully it's not that, though.
Yeah. And Drew, do you think that the teens have sort of emulated their style and brought it to high school or college from celebrities? Or they just do their own thing?
Was that for me?
Oh, yeah, Drew.
Oh, could you ask the question again? Sorry.
That's right. Do you think that teens have sort of emulated their style from celebrities when they go back to school, whether it's college or high school, and they try to see what the hottest celeb is of that summer and try to wear what they wear, like wear the big, bold, thick frames and the skinny pants, whether it's a boy or a girl?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely I think they emulate the celebrities. You have all the celebrities putting out their own clothing lines. I know I have two sisters, both of them have gone through the phases where they bought, I think it's Stuff by Duff, by Hilary Duff. So they're all into those clothes, so they're all going after what's on TV right now. I mean, I yell at my sister when she starts dressing like Kim Kardashian and stuff.
Oh, jeez.
So, I definitely think they emulate what the current trend is.
Interesting.
It makes me think of this quote that only that's all successful bands or all successful musicians, all the girls want to be like them and all the guys want to do them if they're girls, and if it's a guy singer, all the girls want to do them and all the guys want to be like them. So if there's any celebrity, you know, there are always people emulating them and trying to be like them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, successful. First I was like, I think it's the other way around. I don't think the guys want to do them.
Rihanna.
Definitely. And do you think that it's more prevalent with the celebrities now than when you were in ninth grade in high school? Or Miranda, do you see that in high school? Because you don't wear a uniform, right?
No, we don't.
Do you see that? And you start next week, right? You don't start yet?
Yeah, we start next week.
Okay. Do you see that in high school with the celebrities more so now than, I guess, before, like when you were in middle school?
Well, for me, it was more people would sort of emulate celebrities when we were younger. I guess, I mean, I feel like celebrities are starting to wear sort of crazier and crazier stuff now. So, you know, there's not a lot of casual wearing when it comes to celebrities. So, I don't know. I don't think there's as much now as there was in middle school or lower school.
Yeah. It seems that teens have sort of combined their own, like, what they see with the celebrities and then make it their own personality, sort of their character. Because, like, the bright colors are in, the neons, patterns, so sort of basically how you can set yourself apart from the rest of the crowd.
Well, in my school,
what did you say, Miranda?
In my school, people don't try to stand out as much, I think, as fit in. Like, you know, some of the more popular people will come to school wearing a specific outfit, and then a week later, almost everyone's wearing that. I mean,
that's kind of disgusting. I'm sorry, really.
Like that.
Yeah. Just go on Tumblr, see what everyone's blogging about, and wear that.
So then you, is this Edric? So then Edric, you would be the trend follower or the style setter?
Well, not really. Like, the stuff that I look at is kind of avant-garde. So then, in a way, it's following, but then I'm trying to, like, fit it so that it's more conventional at the same time. So I don't know what I am, to be honest. I'd say I'm probably a follower. But I like to modify things, you know. In music, there's really no such thing that's original, really. Everyone just steals from each other, in rock music at least. So, and then they steal from each other and they just make it their own, and that's what they do.
Check out Animal Collective. They don't steal from anyone.
Think I've heard of them.
Yeah.
The authentic group. The real authentic group. So, Tashin, the backs, as you probably can see, like, through all these retail stores, they have the back-to-school craze, and they're allocating all their efforts towards social media. And it seems as though they're sort of bypassing parents and going directly to places in the media where they feel that the teens are going, they can connect with them directly. Just, for example, Candies, one of the... a shoe brand, they had a advertisement with Britney Spears, and you're only able to see it through, I guess they had Britney advertise it on Twitter, and she gained all these followers, or J. Crew only showed a certain amount of jeans on their Facebook, or you only had access to information from, I think it was Staples, through Twitter and Facebook. So they're trying to get and connect in contact with these teens basically almost before the parents, so the teens can talk to their parents and tell them, this is what I want, this is a new thing. And it seems that they're bringing in more money towards that way and marketing that way. Do you think that's successful? How do you think, and is it just going to continue like this for the next few years and just become bigger and bigger?
I definitely think it's going to be successful because all teens and young people are all over the internet. They're more on the internet now than on TV. So advertisements online are working better. And I know that Facebook kind of stalks your internet history and like puts up advertisements on stuff that you like. So I definitely think that by putting and advertising online definitely brings in more money towards the people, towards the companies. Yeah.
And can Jack, do you think this can get out of hand?
Not.
Because if they're targeting like 13, 14-year-olds, of course, like they're not going to make the most responsible decisions.
Yeah. Definitely. I guess kids now don't, like, now that kids have, like, their own credit cards, they, like, buy stuff online, they don't realize what they're spending their money on, and their parents don't have control over that anymore, so it definitely can get out of control, but there's no way of knowing for sure what can happen.
Jack, what do you think about the trend or efforts, their marketing efforts towards social media, the back-to-school craze? Is it going to continue to escalate?
Towards social media, like the thing that they post advertisements on Facebook?
Right, Facebook and Twitter and another thing, yeah. Pinterest.
I don't know why it would stop. It scares me that I'm on my computer and I can look up something, then all of a sudden there's an advertisement on Facebook. How did they know what I was looking up, you know? But I don't see it. As long as social media grows, I think that advertising in social media is going to grow and become more successful.
What do you think about that, Edric?
Well, regarding social media, well, it's just the way they are that they would use our information in order to advertise. Because if you think about it, we're not really the customers, so then they're not really serving us, you know. So if we're not paying anything and we're not the consumers, we're actually the product. And companies like that are actually the customers. So if you don't want to be a product, just stop using social media.
Oh, I think we have a caller. One second. Hello, who's speaking?
Hello.
Hello, who's speaking? Who is this? Say your name.
This is Charmaine Wiley.
Oh, hi. Thanks for calling. What are your thoughts about the trend setting and the craze and back to school?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I pretty much did it, you know, watching television, seeing the commercials, seeing the things that I want. You know, I would definitely go to my parents and say, oh, let's go to, you know, H&M or let's go wherever you want to get, you know, these sorts of items because I saw the commercial.
So are they contacting you? I mean, because if you see a retail store on Twitter or Facebook, are you more apt to go to that individual place versus any other store?
I think it really depends. If it's, you know, if they definitely have a lot of things that catches my eye, you know, things that I would wear, then yes, that would be.
Interesting. So I saw this not study, but basically an article and different people responding to it. 17 Magazine was listing, like, the top 25 things that you must have. And, of course, like, they had chic backpacks or iPad covers or locker chandeliers. Do you guys have locker chandeliers? If you don't have that, you guys aren't in style.
I actually want one. Those sound cool.
Yeah, it really does.
I don't have a locker.
Friendship bracelets that cost $40, so they better stay your friend for that whole year at least. But a lot of teens were responding and saying, like, this, I would want this, but it's way too expensive. So are they not really listening to the teenagers if they're making these so expensive, or they just feel that their parents will get it regardless? Because almost about, like, 15 kids were responding, like, this is great, but I certainly can't afford this. I don't know if is there any other website that I can go to or any alternative.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is a situation where, you know, they know that the parents are going to buy it for the kids. And if, you know, if it's a situation where the kids aren't able to, you know, if they're not able to afford it, then that's when, you know, a lot of people, especially nowadays, the internet is a powerful thing, and everybody goes online, they research, they find all sorts of, you know, stores and stuff that carry the same things, and a lot of the stuff they do have out here are different prices depending on the store.
So, Edric said he bought a scarf and a sweater. What was your back-to-school purchase?
I'm sorry, what?
One of our teen hosts, he bought a scarf and a sweater. He was prepared to pay $100, but he only ended up paying $30. What was your back-to-school purchase that you had to get for school? Hello?
I purchased a new tablet.
Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't hear you. What'd you say?
I purchased a new tablet.
Oh, a new tablet. Did you go to different media outlets?
I actually tend to buy a lot of things online. I do a lot of online shopping.
Okay. Using social media.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thanks so much, Charmaine, for calling. Good luck in school.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, yeah, social media definitely has a great influence, as you can see with our caller. She does most of her shopping online. And it's probably going to have a bigger influence on individuals. And as owning, of course, everyone has social cliques, in schools, whether it's high school or college. Given like the new trend and the new fashion of basically wearing tighter clothes, wearing big glasses, it's definitely sort of, and also like Mark Zuckerberg is the popular one. Everyone's focusing on the technology being into computer tech and science. Does that sort of shift gears within the cliques too, or is it the same still like hierarchy that you always have, like the jock and the cheerleader and then the band, and is it still prevalent amongst high schools and college? Miranda, you can go first.
Well, my school is a little bit different. I mean, our school has actually a really, really good performing arts program. We're not that good at sports. So, I mean, a lot of the drama people are actually kind of popular. It's a little bit reversed from what's mm-hmm. normally
right.
in a high school.
It's weird.
No, our school, too. My high school, we all had, all the cool people were the people that were, talented.
Druggies.
No.
They were druggies.
They were not. That's
they were.
Not true. The druggies were the lowlives that no one talked to.
What are you talking about? I actually knew a lot of them who were druggies. Yes. They were druggies.
All the people from the play were the ones that were, you know, I'm so cool.
There were kids in ROTC who carries like marijuana with them all the time.
Weird.
Maybe they carry like marijuana kits in their uniforms.
So, Edric, how was it at your high school?
I'm sorry?
How was it at, you guys went to the same high school?
Yeah, Ashley, Cecina, and I went to the same high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what about you, Jack?
Who are the cool people at my high school?
No, the social. Did you have the social cliques? Were they prevalent at your high school? And then also, you guys can speak upon college as well. It's a bigger pool because you have more people, so the cliques are a lot larger because you're going to a school that fits you. So you probably will find more groups that fits you, but it's still apparent.
Well, yeah, in my high school, there weren't so many cliques. I don't know. I hear about cliques, and on the TV, there are always shows where everyone's cliques, like movies like Mean Girl. But in my school, there were no cliques, really. Everyone got along, and if you didn't get along, you didn't talk to them, and, you know, everyone, no solid groups formed.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe that's weird, but that's how it is.
And I thought Francis Lewis High School was kind of like, but then there definitely were groups that you could see. For example, sometimes all the Asians would hang out together, all the Middle Eastern people, they would hang out together, stuff like that. Oh, and we can't forget the scene kids. They hung out together.
At camp where?
I'm sorry?
At camp, you said what?
The scene kids.
The mean kids?
The scene kids would hang out together. They're like hipsters in the making, kind of.
Kind of emo, too.
They were.
Oh, emo.
Kind of like emo hipsters.
No, no. No, not emo. The scene kids were different. They were less emotional, you know?
But isn't being that hipster a trend now?
Yeah, that was a trend. But, like, back when we were in high school, that was before it was really the trend. And a lot of the scene kids grew up to become the hipsters.
What's really funny was there was this one girl in our school who had no friends for like 3 years, and then once hipster, the term hipster became cool, everyone just wanted to be her friend because she was so like different. She wore the glasses, she wore the skinny colored jeans, and she like was kind of weird, but everyone loved her because she was so different.
So that's
what
I was asking.
Oh, never mind.
No names, please. That's what I was asking, if it's altered throughout high school because the trend right now has sort of altered from looking at the, like, science tech guy and more Euro fashion and the big glasses, whereas people never wore big glasses before, except on Family Matters with Steve Urkel. But now those same exact glasses are worn by, like, all the hip-hop artists and Jay-Z, and it's cool to wear those things. So it's, I mean, fashion definitely has a huge influence, and it's prevalent throughout, it goes throughout school as well. So,
Definitely
really interesting. And so basically I had a question for us, Drew. The skills versus knowledge, everyone talks about the traditional schooling versus whether you should go and complete college or just go to your first year and just go off and become an entrepreneur and based upon the knowledge that you've gained from that. Because, of course, everyone knows within college you basically learn how to research, learn how to look for the resources that you want, that you need to acquire for whatever project. And, of course, you gain the social aspect of it, learning how to be independent. So those are all skills that you acquire when you're in college. Yet some are more, I guess, ready to go out on their own and just start their own companies. Do you feel nowadays that skills, like people who go to trade schools and schools that are specifically geared toward an expertise versus the knowledge, do you think that skills are becoming to trump knowledge, or they're still like neck and neck?
Well, I mean, obviously it depends on your situation, how much school you can afford. But at least for me going into college, I had no clue what I wanted to do. I had a general idea, but I really was not pinpointed on one profession I wanted to go into. So to really go to a school that was anything but a liberal arts school would be wrong for me. So I still find that, you're 18 going to college, you're still young. So I find going into a liberal arts school, getting that general education, everyone almost nowadays is getting their undergrad degree to get a job, to get a secure job, a stable job in life. So I think that those 4 years or 2 years could even be used for liberal arts, and then you'll have maybe a general idea of what you want to do to go into a graduate school, or, yeah, really just specify what you want to do with school.
Yeah. Do you see, Miranda, in high school that people are starting early and earlier and preparing for college?
Yeah, and my school, at least, I guess my grade is, like, really competitive. And I know a lot of people who are geared up for college or, you know, trying to get extracurricular, but I also know a lot of people who are sort of slacking off and not really worried. But
yeah. Edric, talk to us about, because everyone has, every student, if they're in going to school, whether high school or college, has that back-to-school feeling. But maybe going back to that school is not necessarily the right way, and you choose to go to a different school, and you're going to have to go through that whole entire process once again. How is it going through the whole transferring process, and do you feel that you made the right decision?
Yeah, I definitely feel that I made the right decision from an economic point of view, because the last thing I ever want to do is to go into debt. I'm currently not in debt, but if I were to spend a few more years in GW, I'd be in deep doo-doo. And so I do feel that that's the right decision, and, like, it really depends on the person, you know. Some people feel that they should go to GW is not really an Ivy League school, but it's close. Some people want to go to community college. Some people don't even want to go to college. It really depends on the person, you know. Mm-hmm. So whatever works for you.
And, Jack, you spent time abroad this summer. Did you take classes over the summer as well, or just?
I spent 2 years abroad.
Oh, 2 years abroad. So you studied over there.
Yeah.
But you had a different back to school feeling.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go to school in New York this year. Last year of high school.
Back to, okay, in high school, okay.
Yeah.
So when you started overseas, was that, did they go through that same back to school process? They have that whole marketing targeting the teens through social media. Was that prevalent or?
Yeah, I think marketing is really universal now. It's not just the American fashion, the Kardashians, or, you know, it's not just an American thing now. It's all over the world. Everyone's being bombarded with all these images, you know, and they want to get the newest trend wherever you are in the world. They want the newest trend, the newest cool thing. And it really kills people's individuality, I think.
I heard from someone, they say that fashion is what designers show you from season to season, and style is what you pick from fashion. So then everyone should have their own style, and people shouldn't follow fashion but develop their own style instead.
But the thing about that is, well, when you have your own style, what do you draw upon? It's not like you've never seen anything. You have to have some sort of inspiration, and when you do that, you know, you're automatically following. So it's not everyone has to follow at a certain point. They can't just have a completely original idea. They're seeing something and they're being inspired from it.
Well, yeah, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's this whole, yeah.
Keep going. What were you saying,
Jack?
What were you saying?
No, nothing. That people have to follow a little bit, and sometimes people get really pissed off that everyone's following, but everyone has to be inspired from somewhere, you know. The hipsters are saying, oh, look, he's following that guy, or he's trying to follow that newest fashion. But they're following some other fashions, too, you know. Everything's
yeah, that's
stolen.
True. Actually, if anything, hipsters are probably following the most these days because it's the trend now. Like, what's the underground movement that's going to be popular in the next in 5 years?
Well, no one knows.
Exactly. But I'm pretty sure it exists right now. It's being developed somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's actually true because my cousin, she went to Parsons in New York, and she was telling me how, well, it's not 5 years in advance, but it's certainly a year. But basically, I think it's in France where there is this organization, this think tank that decides what's going to be in fashion for the following year. So they've already decided what's going to be in fashion next year, which is sort of scary. It's sort of like it's being dictated to us, but we think that, like, oh, we invented it, or we thought of this ourselves, but it's basically just being spewed to us through media or advertisement or school or somehow, but it's already been decided for us.
But don't you think that some guys or some girls too, people in general, can stick with the classics? For example, blazers, a nice watch is always going to be stylish. No, you can
clean
the classics.
No tattoos.
Or
plain
white
jeans.
In the military.
Yeah.
Definitely. So did you guys, who started school already?
Who started what?
School.
No one. I did.
Oh, wow.
I did.
Me and Tassine did. I think that might be it.
So you guys already went through the first week of school, and everyone else is still awaiting.
Yep, yep.
Is reading all finished?
Yeah.
Nope.
That's so interesting.
Clip notes? it's certainly interesting on the comings of entrepreneurship and how it's becoming more, it's just becoming out there a lot more, just with individuals like Mark Zuckerberg, where people don't necessarily, they just go to 1 year of college and then just take off from there, not even, or go straight from high school. And it sort of alters, I guess, parents' idea of, I don't know, well, do you think it alters parents' ideas of what they originally thought success would be or how to measure it? Because I guess they send their kids to high school and the track is supposed to be next you'll go to college, after you go to college, then you'll get a job, when you get a job, then so you should, like, it should go from A to B, basically going, but not skipping from A to Z and making your own path. So has it sort of altered, starting within high school, has the definition of success sort of been measured differently?
I actually don't think so. I mean, everyone knows, I mean, at least to the general public, it's that success is making money. I mean, you always have the nice stories of success is finding happiness and stuff, but I think the we all accept that success is really making money. And that's been like that since America was created or founded. And yeah, I don't find it has changed. I mean, when looking at Mark Zuckerberg, that's a one in a million shot. You still got the other million kids that are still going to college, and they're still doing the track that we've seen for years. So I really don't think much has changed. We just advertise these people that have great success just more.
Well, there are a lot of other people. It's not just Zuckerberg. Like, there's Bill Gates who dropped out. There's Steve Jobs, who didn't even go to a year. The guy, Michael Dell, dropped out of college at 19. Henry Ford didn't even finish high school. So, you know, there are tons of people who are just driven people who don't need formal education, who can educate themselves and do just fine and become successful people, whether that's success by, you know, monetary standards or just happy overall people.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, but I mean, even if you name 1,000 people, which I don't think any of us could do, that were successful without going to college, dropping out of school, and you had Einstein that was successful without dropping out of school, but even naming 1,000, if you were to go and take the other kids that still went to school and were moderately successful relative to them, I mean, that having those people that skipped college that were still successful, well, is still a tiny percent compared to the general public.
Of course, because it's the norm to go to college, so they're going to be, you know, it's the norm for successful people to go to college, so there are going to be a lot more people who fall under that category. But
right.
They're, yeah.
But yeah. Then what about the people who go to college and are not successful? For example, I have a family friend who had a full scholarship to Harvard. She got a bachelor's in business, and she can't find a job.
Yeah, I mean that's going to happen, and you're going to get both ends where you're going to be either successful and not successful. I just don't find that the way of life has really changed that much through education. You're still going to go to college to get your basic education. I think even more now you're going to go to college. Even more so now you're going to go to college because you're going to need that education that more and more people are getting. So.
Yeah, you're going to need it to compete with everyone else.
Yeah.
And education has become so global now, you know, you can go on YouTube and you can find Yale courses. And I'm sure in 5 years, every kid in India who has a computer is going to be on YouTube looking up Yale courses and mastering organic chemistry and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we talked about. Our last show, as one of the current events, MIT is now offering their courses online. So it's just opening a whole lot more opportunities for individuals who probably wouldn't normally be able to afford or even just have the ability to get to MIT. And it's definitely expanding their applicant pool. What you guys spoke upon briefly just right now, talking about success, how I think success has definitely been measured in different ways. What would you guys define as being successful. A lot of people have different definitions of success. Tashin, we'll start off with you.
I think success is about being happy with what you're doing and where you are, and because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what someone else is doing. It doesn't matter where you are, because a rich man can be unhappy, sick, and dying, and he's not feeling very successful at that point. But a happy person and a person who's happy with where they are and what they're doing is definitely feeling successful.
Yeah, I mean, my mom is always like, oh, you're successful when you find happiness, you know, you got your true love, you get married and all that, you have a family. And, I mean, I agree with that. Success is having a family and supporting them well. But you can't support them well without a stable job and an income. And I still think that success nowadays, and it has been for a while actually, been based off of how well you're doing financially. I mean, you can have all the happiness you want, but unless you're making a life for your children, I don't think that really you can. I mean, you can call it successful if you want, but to the general standards, I don't think it's successful.
I mean, who's more successful, the businessman who becomes a multimillionaire when he's 40 and is bald and is tired and depressed, or the fisherman who has a love for his labor, peace of mind, and is rich enough to provide for his kids and is happy? Who's more successful?
I find that both are successful. I mean, I was putting it in the circumstance that one is not financially fit for a family and the other is. If they both are financially fit, I mean, I think you're both successful then.
Oh, we hear some outside. We can really hear you, Jack. We hear some background noise and honking.
Yeah, someone flying a plane.
Try to stay indoors. Please stay safe. I mean, it definitely, people see it a lot more nowadays because of the whole downturn in the economy. Individuals who were at the top, who are CEOs, who were in their, who had the quote-unquote stable job, they're in their companies for an exorbitant amount of years, had a set salary, had a set lifestyle, and then it all just basically turned. The stress level was, of course, there, but they still were making the money. But then when they lost their jobs, it's like they had to really analyze, am I doing this for just to make the money, or do I really enjoy what I'm doing? And it's definitely a hard thing, because if you can't afford, you're doing what you're passionate about, but then you can't afford to pay for your family or even pay for having a meal for the evening, for the night, it's hard to decide, or different, your priorities are definitely changed around. What are your thoughts, Miranda?
Well, I think that, I mean, for me personally, you know, I wouldn't really do a job just because it would make more money. I mean, I would always just take something that I love and know that I would be fulfilled by it no matter how much I got paid. But, yeah, I think that something like the economic downturn, I mean, where all those businessmen, you know, they suffered losses, it definitely sort of makes you sort of reconsider, like, am I doing this because I like it, or am I doing it just because, you know, it'll help me out in terms of money.
What about you, Drew?
I still find that you need the financial support from a job to be successful. I mean, I think that's a necessary motivation tool when you're younger to make the money. You need to make the money, and then you need to create a stable life so that you can support a family. I mean, I'm sure when I get older, I'm going to change over to, oh, no, success is having a family, having your kids, having a wife, and growing old with all of them and watching them develop. But for right now, I think it's a necessary motivational tool to have that to have that urge to make money, because that'll create an easier life for you in the future to be truly successful, which is having a family and a wife or husband.
Edric?
I do agree that that money is a big part of success. However, if you don't, if you're not happy, if your family isn't happy, if your kids aren't happy, what's the point? If you have so much money that your kids are spoiled, they pull a Paris Hilton or something, like that's not really a success, you know? So money is a big part of the equation, but it's not the only part of the equation.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Definitely deciding between your passion and whether you want to make that your forefront. And if some people just find their passion as being a success no matter what they do. So definitely depends on the individual.
If you're passionate enough, you're definitely going to become successful. I mean, I know a lot of people say that you have to have, you know, a lot of things in order to... She was looking at me like, I'm totally wrong. yeah, I definitely think that if you're passionate enough, you'll definitely find success, because if that's truly what makes you happy over money, even if you're dying, then you're happy, right? I don't know. It depends on the people, I guess.
I think you still got to find like an intermediate point where you're balancing happiness and then making money. So, I mean, it's all about just balancing it out, because you're never going to have one or the other.
Yeah.
And if you do have one or the other, there's going to be downsides, which some people will consider it being a unsuccessful life, and then you're going to have to have up or downs.
Definitely.
Definitely true. If you ever want to call in and give us your comments, call in at 914-338-0695, Dean Sinkman on Blake Radio. So it's definitely interesting with having the different successes and how it incorporates with the back to school nowadays. So how do you make sure that you guys stay focused throughout the, of course, the first week everyone's excited about their new classes, excited about their new teachers, but how are you able to sustain that excitement throughout the whole entire year and be able to accomplish whatever your goals are, whether it's to make a certain GPA or to be a part of a certain program? What are your tactics, or how do you go about making sure that you stay focused throughout that year, Edric, or when you go
back?
That's
actually a very good question, because I don't know the answer to that question. The first week of college, it's like that's where all the parties happen before the police really get, you know, that's before they shut them down and stuff. And it's like, for me, sometimes it's like I go through classes. I go through the entire week, like excited for the weekend. That's just me. And then that kind of messes up my concentration. So, but I know that you have to do the readings. That's a big must. And I'm the one who needs help here when it comes to this.
I mean, for me, last year I didn't do too well with grades. I got kind of caught up with freshman year of college, which I'm sure a lot of people do. This year I have a roommate who's focused, and I'm trying to definitely be more focused. I said at the beginning of the year, let's go get a 4.0. I doubt that's going to happen. But I mean, it helps to have somebody that can keep you in line for your goal, which was a 4.0, and having a roommate that's concentrating and focused definitely would help with that.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, and make a planner. My dad always tells me, well, he calls it a diary. I don't know why, but always.
Jesus.
Always, I know, but he's like, make sure you write in your diary every single day. Make sure you do your work. I'm like, okay, Dad. But yeah, I keep a planner now. Make sure you do my work on time.
What about you, Drew?
Well, I mean, I had the roommate, but I guess for high school, I always, actually high school I didn't do too well, but when I did do well and when I did feel that I focused the most, was actually when I was organized, like the scene said, and I had a planner. To get one at the beginning of the year, it probably lasted me about 2 months into the year. But for those 2 months, I did pretty well.
The worst part is when you forget about your planner. That's, how do you have a planner about your planner, right? Sometimes I forget my planner. That's what's the worst part. But now that I have a cell phone, they have like this reminder thing where you can check off where if you did your work and stuff like that.
But what if you lose your phone?
I know, it's the worst part. Then you're screwed.
What about you, Jack? How are you going to prepare for your year back in the States?
I'm going to prepare by trying to have as much fun before school starts, get
That's
myself
good.
in a good state of mind and be happy before, you know, back to school, which I'm not so happy about. So that's my preparation, just stay positive before school starts and everything will fall into place, hopefully.
That's a good one. That's certainly a good thing. And Miranda, what about you, going to sophomore year?
So I think just trying to be driven throughout the year. I mean, having good teachers and, you know, good courses really helps because you can be kind of excited for class and also just more challenging courses because it's always sort of pushing you to go a little bit harder and stuff. So that's it for me.
Some people get so overwhelmed. I know, well, specifically in college, choosing majors, and now especially since they know that there's not that guarantee that you may have a job, and most people are telling others to, once they finish their undergraduate, that doesn't really make a difference. You need a master's degree, and now undergraduate degree is just as big as it was as when you got a high school degree. So you have to get like master's degrees now, basically, just to have that extra expertise. So people are choosing majors based upon what job that they will be able to get. So they might not necessarily be interested in it, but they go into accounting. So they major in like finance or to guarantee that they'll get that job with the firm. How did you guys go about choosing your major? Are you just sort of you had a counselor, or you had a parent tell you, or you just sort of chose it, and then if you didn't like it, you just went on to something else?
That was definitely one of the worst experiences to pick a major because I'm really indecisive and I like a lot of things, and I also want to take the pre-med requirements, which is great because if I take the pre-med requirements, I don't have to major in anything specific. I can major in anything. So I had and I really like film, so, and my parents did not want me to major in film or do anything in film, and there is no film major in Stony Brook. So I decided to do journalism because journalism was close enough to film, and it's an accredited major. So, yeah, that's how I chose my major. Definitely a difficult process, though, to definitely be sure of what you're doing because you're going to have to stick through that for 4 years.
Andrew, how do you choose?
I didn't really choose it. It was more thrusted upon me.
it was just something I was always good at, but then I hated. It's political science. I'm good at history. I know a lot about politics and stuff, but then I just don't like it, you know. And then I know a political science degree isn't in demand right now in the market, so I actually don't know what I'm gonna do.
No.
Yeah.
Frederick, you were always great at this stuff.
I know, but I'm probably gonna go to law school. But then there's probably like 4 lawyers for every person in the world, so I'm going to have to do something else with a law degree other than being an attorney, even though I technically am one, if I were to get a law degree.
Well, you definitely can do a lot with a law degree, especially now.
Yeah, so I don't really plan on going to trial and all that fun stuff you see on Law & Order. Yeah, I definitely want to do something related to that field, though. I just don't know what exactly. Maybe become a lobbyist or something?
Yeah, come to Capitol Hill.
Sounds good and evil.
Maybe. Sounds good and evil. What?
Do it. How did you choose your courses, Drew?
Well, I mean, I've always been interested in astronomy. So coming to college, I thought that would be pretty cool to go into. And then I saw an interview, actually a speech. There was a speech held at Stony Brook by Brian Greene. I don't know if you guys know him. He's a physicist. He's a theoretical physicist. He's dealing with, like, string theory and stuff. And when I heard him speak, I was really, really into that stuff. I when I'm with my friends, I could always talk about astronomy for hours. I mean, seeing
hours.
It gone.
Oh my God! He starts talking about some elastic. I don't know, some spaghetti.
Spaghettification, going into a black hole. And
oh, I know.
I can talk about that for hours. So I mean, I figured if you can talk about it for hours, you can study it for hours. So I thought maybe that's what I should go into. Although there's not a lot of jobs with that, so it's gonna be tough.
Work with NASA, but that's pretty hard, right?
Yeah, I mean, NASA's also kind of going down the drain. No more manned shuttles anymore into space, so. But, I mean, I'll try to get a job with them.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Wasn't there like an article in Yahoo about the top majors? The top most? You say it, because you know it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was just an article on, like, the lowest unemployment rates. Astronomy or astrophysics was at 0% unemployment, which is obviously impossible, but it's really just because there's so few of them, so it just means it's tougher, so it's just kind of demoralizing for me, but anyways, I'll go for it.
Yay.
And Miranda, you're given your classes, right, in high school?
Mm-hmm.
But you can do electives.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm just kind of trying to get through the required stuff. I can start doing some more, like, fun classes next year, but
yeah,
here's more just what's required.
Pretty interesting. Well, I certainly feel like you have prepared all our listeners to not have that anxiety of going back to school. They'll go off and buy the scarf and sweater that Edric bought. They'll be set in that way. Decide whether they want to be a trendsetter or a follower. But let's go around and give me any takeaway you have from today's radio show. Edric, what did you learn today?
Why don't we let the other people go first?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
no,
Drew.
You can go.
Drew.
I mean, really, I just learned about how other people go through school. Well, how the other teen hosts go through school. I never knew the teen's story about how she chose a major, so that was interesting to learn. I'm sure other people are in that position, so that's definitely going to help the other kids out that are in the same position, not so they know they're not alone. Yeah, that's what I took out of it.
Make sure you get the diary.
Yes, the diary. That was a big one.
Tashine, what's your takeaway?
Basically that I guess everyone's experiences are almost the same, and that, basically that.
Come on, get
and
something more.
I can't think of anything right now.
Jack, our newest host, teen host.
You know, be prepared, feel good, be confident about it, because if you're stressing out about something, someone else has been through it and they've gotten through it. You know, every successful person has been in your situation once, so you can do it. And school is not anything to be scared of, and have fun.
I like that.
Yeah, that was good.
Miranda.
I guess just how other people sort of prepare for school, what they're looking forward to, what they think about, you know, going through college and life and stuff.
I agree. Last but not least, Edric.
I learned what everyone else talked about, like what everyone else just said.
That's what we waited for?
I like that too.
Pretty much.
Well, thank you guys.
Oh, and I learned that spaghettification. I knew it was a phenomenon, but that's like, I learned the term for it. Yay.
Yeah.
Nice. Go out there and tell them all about it. Well, thank you, of course, for listening to Teen Station here on Blake Radio Rainbow Soul, where you can engage in the perspective of all and the opinion of many, our untapped truth. So what do you have to say? Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Signing off.